just balls. But I can't help myself. I can't help myself. Nobody on the planet I'd rather have on than Dustin Pedroia. I can't help it. I'm being sincere.
I appreciate it, Rob. It's good to be back on your show with all the, probably, what is it, 17 followers that you got?
Well, listen, all I know is this. We got 18 now because I got a tattoo. I'm not going to lie to you. You're good for business. Your story, the last time you came on when I did that in a parking lot in someplace in North Carolina,
yeah,
like your story that you told, your recruiting story with Pat Murphy, it went viral. It went viral.
It did.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's good.
Did you speak to the Brewers, by the way? Did you give the Pedroia fire and brimstone speak to that?
Yeah, I did. Obviously me and Murph are really close. So I came out and I helped with Sal Frelick actually came out here, last off season, him and Bryce Terang and we took ground balls together. Murph wanted, they didn't know what their roster was going to do. And there was a chance that Sal could move to the infield. So Murph calls me up and he's like, "Hey man, can you come out and see if this kid can do it?" So I'm like, "Yeah, you know, it's about a 35-40 minute drive for me to their spring training complex." So I went out there, worked with Sal and Bryce, and I was like, "Murph, he can do it." I go, "But you're taking a Gold Glove guy out of the outfield, putting him in the damn infield." He goes, I know. But it was great just getting to know those two guys. And then when they came out to play the Diamondbacks, I went in there and spoke to the team and they had a great group, man. They had some good people. I actually played with Ricky Weeks, who's their, I bench coach or associate manager, whatever they call Ricky. Quentin Berry was there, who I played with in 2013. So it was a bunch of guys I already knew. And just playing against Yelich and knowing him over the years. And then playing against Willie Adames. So there was a lot of guys there. So when I was speaking, it was, they kind of got it. They've been in the league a long time. They understood what it takes to win. It was more for the young guys because they did have a young team. It was pretty cool that Murph asked me to come out and give him a little pep talk.
Before I get to Operation 2515, 1525, we'll get to a second.
All right.
It is interesting because I don't know Murph at all, but you. I've heard you talk about him going back ever since I've known you. And I'm wondering, like, well, how's that going to translate to Major League Baseball? It's that personality, that like fiery personality. And then also the fact is, here's the thing. The older managers in baseball for all the analytics and everything. How old is Murph? Like 60 something, so something.
I think he's 64 now.
Yeah.
65.
These are the guys who are succeeding. Tito and.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I will say about Murph, he was a lot different than when I played for him. He was in his early 40s. And I mean, I'm pretty sure the stuff that we did at that time, heck, you get incarcerated if you do that shit now. You know what I mean? But I will say this, Rob, I needed it. And so did my teammates. There's not a teammate that I played with in college in the 3 years I was there that's not successful in their life. I don't know one. Every guy that played for Pat Murphy is doing something productive in their life. So to say that, that's what a manager or a head coach is supposed to do. It's not about wins and losses, man. It's about leading men. And at that time, I was a kid. You know what I mean? So, he's always going to be successful. He'll always find a way to find a winning formula and make players maximize the best of what they have. Cause that's just who he is. And I was lucky enough to get him when I was 18, 19, and 20. He helped form me and helped, make me deal with things that down the road, when toughness and, struggle and playing in an environment that I played in, that the stuff that he did was the stuff that got me through it.
So when you manage 8 years from now, I'm losing track. I think it's 8 years now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
A year ago it was nine. Do you feel that, have you thought about that? Have you thought about, hey, listen, I know when I show up at the park, I know how I want it to act, but you're controlling these other guys. You know how it is. I mean, you did a little bit of it. I would imagine having to manage personalities as a player, as a teammate, but have you thought about like how you would react and how you would do it?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think about it all the time. I mean, and looking back on my playing career, one of my most favorite parts of my career was getting to know certain personalities, guys from, you know, I grew up in Woodland, California, and I'm playing with Victor Martinez from, you know, a small island somewhere. You know, I'm playing with David Ortiz. I'm playing with, Jose Iglesias. Then I'm playing with Mike Napoli, Mitch Moreland, Kevin Youkilis. Like, that was the part, Josh Beckett. I mean, you hit everywhere in the world, Rob. And that's the part I miss, man. Like, just, you know, we signed Dice K and there's 7 million photographers and reporters and I gotta get to know him. I can't speak the same language as him. So like, that's the part that I miss, man. And I loved it. I did. Like, I mean, you saw me around all those guys, you know, I would obviously make them feel comfortable right away by joking around with them because they're looking at me like, how in the hell is this guy any good the way he looks? You know what I mean? So then they just laugh and then they're in, you know, I bring them in right away. And then, you know, that's kind of how it goes. So yeah, I think about that part all the time. And I think that's one of the things I was actually good at. So down the road, if I do that, it'll be a blast. It'll be a good time.
I think that, you know, as you're saying, and I've said this about you to other people, maybe is that, you know, one of the things that during your time, you had your group, right? Your friend group, you get along. I think you get along with pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Congratulations. But you had your friend group. And the reason I say that is because that your friend group wasn't people necessarily like you, you know?
Yeah.
Like the one that jumps to mind always is Mike Napoli, right? Mike Napoli is a guy who you were tight with. And you guys couldn't have been at different places in your life more.
100%. Yeah. I mean, Mike, at that time, Mike Nap was single and, you know, he liked to get after it. I'm a family guy. I literally go to the hotel in the ballpark and, two different people. But when we walked in the door together, man, we were best friends.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I think the personality and the way we both approach the game, you know, it just, you gravitate to people like that. You know what I mean? You know, the best part about that was when Nap would come over the house and I got kids running around everywhere. You know how it is. It's a 3-ring circus. And Nap's playing, you know, like playing with the kids, like him and Cole were best buddies. Like, I'm like, Nap, it's only a matter of time, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Next thing you know, he's walking shirtless, smoking a butt, walking down Boylston Street.
I know. Isn't it beautiful?
But you know, and I also like wonder, you had mentioned Jose Iglesias. I wasn't, like, he was a different guy when you played with him. But I do think when I was reintroduced to Jose with the Mets this past year, talking to him, I'm like, I bet if you ask him, he took a lot away from that time. He was a young guy. And I'm not only talking about promoting his song, which, oh my God, you think I'm a promoter? Like, oh my.
Yeah. He's Don Kingish. Yeah. He was getting after that. Yeah. He's like, he sent me WhatsApp. I have WhatsApp. So, cause my wife takes me on these out of country trips and, you know, I got to communicate with some people. And Iggy hits me up on that. And he's like, hey, I need you to send out a social media about my song. I'm like, Iggy, I don't know how to do that. You know, but the funny thing about Iggy was his first spring training, Rob, he spoke no English. So the way we taught him, this is dead serious. I, at that time, remember, Best Buy was big. They probably still have some stores. Well, I went over to Best Buy with Iggy and we got, I think it was Major League, Happy Gilmore, Major League, Happy Gilmore. There's one other movie, Rob. But it was English with Spanish subtitles. So he started watching those and I'm like, Iggy, we got to be able to speak to each other. Like, communication is baseball.
Yeah.
And dude, I'm not kidding you. By the end of that year, this dude was speaking English. Like, he took pride in it. He wanted to be good. Like, you're like looking at his career now, I'm pretty proud of him, man. Like he's done pretty good for himself.
Yeah. And like I said, I just think, you know, we all grow, but I mean, over that 10, 11 years, other than having some sort of understanding that you don't have, number one, you don't have social media. And number two, don't ask you for favors like that. Come on. Don't ask. You've never promoted a song. You never promoted anything in your life. Forget about like a song that Jose Iglesias sings.
So, oh, what a good guy.
Well, speaking of promotions.
Yeah.
It's time to really kick in Operation 1525. And I told you back, it was back in June or May. I said, I would be doing this. I have a Hall of Fame vote because I'm a pretty big deal. And so I told you, I documented, I would be voting for you for the Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's one.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Like, just you saying that, like, I remember literally my entire life, everybody always said I was never going to make it. I was too small. I wasn't fast enough. I wasn't strong enough and whatever. And now a reporter just told me he's voting for me for the Hall of Fame. So that right there, that's good enough for me, man. Like I literally, Rob, for 22 years of my life, everyone said there's no chance. He's a good player, but there's the end is coming. And sure enough, it never came. You know what I mean? So, I appreciate it, man. That's pretty special.
Even though it comes from me.
Well, hell, it comes from anybody.
Yeah.
It comes from anybody, man. Like, yeah. I got the ballot the other day. This was probably 3 weeks ago. And you know me, I don't like around here. I don't, you know, my kids ask me some questions about when I played, but I don't really talk about it that much. You know, I just don't, but when I got the ballot in the mail and they had this nice thing, it's like, hey, not a lot of people have the opportunity to be on the ballot. You know, there's a criteria for that. Here's the ballot for your keepsake. Congratulations. And I just sat there and read it. I'm like looking at the names on there. And I'm like, holy cow, man. Like I'm on there with them. You know what I mean? So it's pretty cool. You know, I'm obviously a big fan of baseball. It's, you know, I've loved it, you know, ever since I picked up a ball. So, it's pretty cool to have my name on the ballot.
So did it hit different? I mean, did it's coming, but did it hit different when you got that in the mail?
I mean, you know me, you can't control anything with that. Like, I don't know if I'll get in or anything, but.
Yeah. But I mean, but you know, did you sometimes it just like, oh my goodness. Like, I know this is coming, but then the reality of when you see your name on it.
Yeah. It's crazy. Different. Yeah. It's different. And then talking, you know, I went to David Ortiz's thing and I talked to Barry Larkin about some things and, you know, just some of the things he said to me, meant a lot. So, you know, obviously you can't control what's going to happen in that. But, you know, I don't have any regrets in anything. You know what I mean? I didn't take a play off. I really didn't. I didn't take one play off. It might. So, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I can firmly say for however many at bats I had, I ran as hard as I could every time. I tried to get a damn hit every time. And when I was struggling, I worked even harder. And when I was hot, I worked even harder. So it, you know, that's probably the reason why I'm on the ballot is every single game I pushed myself to try to do what's best for my team and help us win games. And that's all I cared about. I didn't care about numbers. You guys obviously saw that. I was playing my last probably 20 games, maybe more, obviously, when I blew out. But I mean, I was a 303 hitter, and then I tried to play with one leg, and I think I went like 3 for 60 and ended up hitting 299. So I don't play for numbers. I played the game because I loved it and I wanted to win and I wanted to do it with a group of people. And that was pretty special.
Before I get to the numbers, I do want to say this, and this is another thing that I've said about you, is that a lot of times we would talk and you would be like, hey, this is the problem. Don't tell anyone, right? Like, whatever it was, an injury. And I was respectful for all that, I think. Yeah. But almost, I've never seen a player that when you were struggling, it was due to something physical. And like, this is like, it's not making an excuse for you.
Yeah.
But when you, when, at least when I knew that you were okay, like you were always really, really good. But when you struggled, it was always like, oh, well, I have a broken, you know, you didn't say this, but broken finger, you know, leg or whatever it is. It was always something. And sometimes guys struggle when they're perfectly fine. I never felt that you did that. And that's how good you were. You're welcome.
I appreciate it. No, and I think that's a product of the environment that I was in. You know, looking back, you know, I think, obviously in 13, I tore my UCL on my thumb opening day and I played with it because David was going to be out for, I think it was 6 to 8 weeks with his Achilles. Remember when he was coming back from that?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So we couldn't start that year without that year. I hit third, you know, we had L's and then Victorino, then me. You can't start the year without your 3-4 hitters. I'm sorry. So I'm like, it was a thing where I felt like pain tolerance, I could take it. It was honestly a matter of performing. And I had told, you know, our hitting guys at the time, I'm like, guys, I got to sell out. I got to hit the ball the other way. I can't try to go deep. This is actually going to play into my hands because no one pitches me in anyway. Mm. I go, my approach is going to be the other way. I'll just rack up hits. Don't count on me going deep. Like, it ain't going to happen. Like, I literally can't finish my swing. So it ended up, I did it, but then there were other years where, you know, 2014, you know, I ended up fixing my thumb after that year. 2014, I had a wrist issue. And I couldn't, it was obviously from the thumb. Everything got tight. I had to, you know, they had to like release this sheath in my wrist and I ended up getting it done in September, but the whole year it was a grind. And that part, you know, playing through that, some things you can play with effectively and some things you can't, you know, and in 14, I broke a couple fingers. Mm. And if I would have probably sat out 3 weeks, yeah, I would have played better when I got back. But those 19 to 20 games that we played, you know what I mean? Maybe I could have impacted 10 or 11 of them and we could have won those. It'd have been a different story. Mm. So that's kind of how I looked at it. You know, me out there at, you know, 70% is better than somebody else. And mm-hmm. I always had that mindset and that came from Tito when I was younger. You know, he's like, hey, listen, man, when you're banged up, your name in the lineup changes the game. Mm-hmm. So that always stuck with me. And I felt obligated to not just the position players on the team, but the pitchers, you know, just cause I can't get, you know, go out and get three hits. Mm-hmm. I could impact the game defensively better than anybody.
Well,
and that's why I did it.
You know, I think I've rehashed this story with you before, but you know, another thing I always remember was that I can't remember. I felt like it was 2012, or maybe it was 2014 when you guys finished in New York.
That was 12. Yeah.
12.
Yeah.
You had busted fingers. You had literally busted fingers.
Yeah. I dislocated my pinky and I broke my ring finger. So I broke my ring finger on my left hand and then I dislocated my pinky on my throwing hand. So every time I threw the ball, it'd pop out. Mm. It was a mess, dude.
And you guys were way, I mean, you won 69 games. You're finishing in New York, games mean nothing, and you played. And I remember I was home and I think I texted you whatever. And, you know, usually the texts are pretty snarky, but this one was, hey, listen, you know, something to the effect of, you know, I want to do something my sons could look back at and be proud of. I probably could have that text somewhere before. And so that's what I'm talking about. I mean,
it's funny about that. So I remember that I remember our doc gave me he numbed my pinky for the game. Yeah. This is why I did it too. DeMarlo Hale was with the Orioles and, who I'm very close with. He coached me, early in my career and he was the bench coach with the Orioles and they were, them and the Yankees were a game out and if they won and the Yankees lost, they win the division. So DeMarlo sent me a text because I didn't play the day before because dude, it was like, it's hard, right? Mm. So he shot me a text and he's like, "Hey man, are you all right?" And I was like, "I got a couple broken fingers, you know, like I'm dealing with some stuff." He goes, "Come on, man, we need you." I go, "D, I'm going to do everything I can to get in there tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like I got, you know me, I want to play. I want to finish and I want to respect the game. Like, you know, I'm not just cause we're out of it. That doesn't mean you stop." So we went out and played and I remember I was the first inning. I think I hit a 3-run double or something. Or a 2-run double, and we were up in the game like 2-1 all the way. And I'm like, "Hell yeah, we're gonna win! I get 2 RBIs. I can't wait to text Marlo and tell him pound sand." You know what I mean? And sure enough, I think it was Mark Teixeira. He hit a ball. He hit a walk off home run, and I remember walking off the field like, "Dude, my heart!" Like, you know what I mean? When you do everything you possibly can.
Oh yeah.
And we were just we just didn't have enough that year, man. And
you sure didn't have enough. I mean,
we did. Hey, we tried though.
We don't have enough time for that. Anyway,
yeah, tried our best.
Good effort. Good effort. Thanks. Nice try.
Thanks. You try at the Y. Yeah.
Operation 1525. All right. I'm going to give you your credentials.
All right.
Played 2006 to 2018 career. Oh my goodness. I didn't know your career batting average 299. You pulled a Jim Rice.
Hell, Rob, I went 3-for-70 on one leg.
I know. 365 on base percentage, 839 slugging, 140 home runs, 725 RBIs, 1805 hits. That's pretty good. Career 113. You don't care about this, but career 113 OPS plus, 51.6 WAR, 4-time Gold Glove Award winner, 4-time All-Star, 2008 AL MVP, member of the 2007 and 2013 and 2018 World Series champs. I want to come back to the WAR 51.6, but the most important stat wasn't included in this, which is one that your good friend Jonathan Papelbon surfaced on this podcast just the other day, and that's BAR.
You know what that is?
No. Balls above replacement.
Sure, Pap came up with that. Oh.
He and because I asked him to fill out the Hall of Fame ballot, his own Hall of Fame ballot, so he couldn't complain about it. And to nobody's surprise, you were on his Hall of Fame ballot. But you know, we talked about BAR, and and all joking aside, I actually liked it. Like I actually like that's for Pap. That might have been his best idea of all he has ever come up with, right?
Pap's got a lot of them. Don't sell Pap short now. He's smarter than you think.
I'm not saying he's not smart. I'm just saying that's a good one.
He's great.
And, you know, we go through some of these other guys on that ballot. Billy Wagner was high in BAR.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Balls above replacement.
Big time.
But there is something there. That's what it is, man. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I can't really argue with Pap on that one.
Well, yeah, so I don't know how you feel as we're creeping toward it, how you feel, like you get the thing in the mail and everything. I really appreciate you doing this. I do.
Yeah.
But how you feel about it? Cause there's going to be more attention and more talk and everything else. But it's the biggest thing. First of all, just keep it going. No matter what happens. If you don't make it, just keep it going.
Yeah.
Like Louis Tion, that was one of the, this is why this sort of thing is important, Dustin. I keep telling you, this is why Operation 1525 is important.
Yeah.
Because sometimes this stuff is so messed up where Louis Tion was at 30 something percent and then he drops to 5%. Like,
I don't understand. Why did he do that?
Because other guys come on the ballot, he gets pushed down. And then all of a sudden he can't get out of it. If you go look at Louis, you know Louis. I mean, like, like this guy, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But it's important to keep the conversation going, is what I'm saying.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. No, it obviously it's important, Rob. And you know when I think about it, obviously you can't control the voting, and in my life. When people said you can't do something or you're not good enough to do something, I could do something to prove them wrong. But I can't now. I already played. You know what I mean? So it's that's where I'm kind of like, all right, like I made my peace. I played as hard as I could for as long as I could until I had one injury and it stopped me. So that's that. You know what I mean? If I would have had three more, the problem I had is I talked to a couple people and they're like, oh, if you'd have just had some bulk numbers, I'm like, well, if I'd have played three, 4 more years and had average years, that'd make me a Hall of Famer. What are you talking about? It doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. It shouldn't. You know what I mean?
That's a great
point. Nothing in my life I wanted to do average. Literally nothing. So I look back at every single year I played. I didn't have a bad year. My best defensive year was 2014, and that was my worst offensive season because my wrist was – I had wrist surgery. Mm-hmm. But defensively, I think I made three errors all year. And at that time, Fenway Park's infield, it wasn't what it is now. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, until Dave took over and started and that thing was nice, man, you watch your lips now. Like, look at my nose. You see how it's crooked?
Yeah.
You think it's crooked for a reason? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the part I'm like, I disagree with you on that. You know, if I would have played three, four more average years, you know, that doesn't make me a Hall of Famer.
That's a great point. Excellent point by you.
Well, I don't have many good points, but
every squirrel finds a nut.
Thank you. But that's my only thing. You know what I mean? Is that now, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? I know, you know, I look at the guys on the ballots and I see the pictures on there and I'm like, man, I was lucky enough to face those guys because they were, I saw CC Sabathia, about a month ago and just talking with them, man, it was fun. You know what I mean? Just, you know, we face each other a lot, you know, when he was with the Indians and then the Yankees and it kind of a chess match, man. Like he's power. I'm trying to find a way to wear him down and I'm the smallest guy on the field and it was great talking to him, man. And then I saw, Felix, King Felix at David's thing and just talking to him. Man, I actually hit him okay. I actually hit him pretty good. But one time they left him in the game late and I hit an oppo homer off him in Seattle to tie the game. Mm-hmm. Actually to go ahead 4-3. And he remembered it. Remember when I threw you that heater up and away? And I was like, I'll never forget it, Felix. He goes, why you never forget it? I go, cause that was the first opposite field home run I ever hit in my life.
did you talk to those guys? Both those guys are like first, you know, they're on the ballot. Do you talk to those guys about exactly what you're talking about now? Hey, you know, what are you feeling or whatever it is?
No. I was just happy to talk to him about the battles we had, man. That was fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that was the game. Like that's what made playing baseball the best is when you're facing the best, like you want to know where you're at, you know, and when we were playing at Safeco and they got the King's Court going or whatever the hell they're calling in, that place is going crazy. Man, I'd get to the yard at 6 a.m. if I could. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I get to face CC Sabathia at Yankee Stadium. And I'm like, it doesn't get much better, dude. You know what I mean? Like that's what I miss is not the, you know, the challenge of trying to beat the best. And that was, dude, I miss it.
So when you go into the Hall of Fame, are you going to request to have the plaque right next to Tito Francona? I mean,
oh God, Tito's still be managing.
Were you surprised at that? Were you surprised?
Dude. No. So I, Tito was in my group in, Davidson. We had the best time ever. And like we really did. I miss him, man. I miss being around him. And I told him, I was like, man, my first, you know, 7 years for playing for you. I mean, it was, you got so used to it and you knew what to do that when it changed, it was, you still felt like he was there, but he just wasn't. You know what I mean?
And, oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I needed you, man. You know what I mean? Like, because he was special and hell, he's still doing it. Like
he's saying like, hey, listen, we did a eulogy. We did all these managing eulogies for you. And now you got like we can't do two.
Yeah. What's wrong with him?
All right. You know? Well, Listen, I appreciate it.
Yeah, Rob. How's your family? You good?
Yeah. Oh, listen, as we were just talking about before I got on, I got a tattoo.
I know.
And things I never thought I'd do, but you said you, and that's another thing. Your only tattoos on your wedding because you broke your finger, right?
I can't be. When you have this kind of looks and personality, you can't be walking around without a wedding ring. You know what I mean? So, I'm trying to make my wife happy and, because otherwise you'd be beating the ladies off the stick. You know what I mean?
Well, it's you. That's why I knew that we had so much in common.
I know.
All right.
When are you coming back to Arizona?
Come on. Spring training.
Yeah, you might have to come out earlier and watch my oldest play basketball, high school.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Varsity?
No, he's at the biggest school in Arizona. He's on the freshman team.
He's
two guard, starting two guard. Really? About 9, 10 points a game. Yeah, he's a good player.
Okay. They run isolations for him?
No. I mean, sometimes. But right. they play team ball. Like, they're running. They got multiple sets they run. And, yeah, it's fun, dude.
All right. Well, listen, I'm still coaching now. So if he wants, it's like, I'm like the John Wooden of,
Where are you? Where are you coaching?
High school.
Varsity.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Will you speak to my team? Actually, forget about it. They're Christian kids.
I don't want to get in trouble.
All right.
I don't want to get in trouble. Don't get me in trouble, Rob.